There is a typo in the bulletin this morning. Instead of Luke, it should be Matthew chapter 1. And so, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. So why don't you turn in your pew Bible with me this morning to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And as we continue in our series, What Child Is This? The wise men is who we'll study this morning. And we're going to read about them from Scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where's the Christ? What's to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go ahead and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as you've spoken to us through your word this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may those words be your words this morning that I've prepared in this message. Lord, may you fill me with that spirit as I deliver this message to your people. And Lord, may your people receive your word today. May you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus we pray, amen.
What child is this? Yes, yes, that is the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? That single question was the driving force behind our lengthy journey. We had to figure out what child this is. And I know. My friends, we have been called wise by many of the people we encountered along our journey. If even for a brief moment, I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, or it should be known, that knowledge is acquired by keeping one's eyes open and mouth shut. So, may I suggest that you keep your mouths closed and your ears open, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clear as I can. One, we did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? We followed the star. I know. To many, that would be considered a fool's errand, but we are no fools. No, that star was moved by some unseen force. And who moves stars but God? Two. We encountered that corrupt king. That king wanted us to find the child so that he could worship the child. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that king, that king, that Herod is a ruthless and cruel despot. It does not take a wise man to discern that. And that king felt that this child was a threat. And mark my words, that child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I don't have words for three. My entire life I have searched, and yet it was always just beyond the horizon of my knowing. Until, in an instant, I crossed a threshold, and there it was. That father, that mother, that star, the child. It was all there. All my searching, all my studying, it was all right there. All in that child. How could I not worship him? I need search no more.
My question for you this morning, are you still searching for whom you will worship in your own life? The wise men have found him. They make their appearance in Matthew's gospel account of the Christmas story, which we're so familiar with. From the start of chapter 2, we're introduced to these men and discover some details about their origins and their intentions as well. As we understand who these wise men are this morning, as we learn about them, we can begin to see a reflection of some of their attributes, which we've been studying through this whole series, found in the life of Jesus, also in these men. So let us allow their lives to help us understand what child is this, as we learn about Jesus once again. According to the text, the wise men came from the east. Now, depending on where Matthew was writing this text, from the east could mean a variety of places, which often is somewhat controversial at times with theologians when they talk about from the east, meaning where did they come from? How far do they travel, and so on, or big questions. Some of us might still ask those questions today. But some of those things will be answered today in this message as we go through this text today. Most likely, these wise men were Gentiles from Arabia. Now, if you can see the map this morning, the biggest country you see is Saudi Arabia on the map. That's currently what you see. Now, look around there. There's other country as well. But up in the left-hand corner, you'll see that's where Israel would be. Bethlehem. So as you gather your bearings, listen to a few more things I point out about from the east and what it means. For a Jewish Christian living in the Holy Land, from the east would be a term that referred to places on the east side of the Jordan River. Those who lived in the Holy Land in the first century would have referred to the Jordanian desert areas that connect with the deserts of Arabia as from the east. And here's a list of those modern-day countries you might be familiar with. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, Iraq, and Jordan were possible areas where these wise men probably derived from or traveled from to get to Jesus. But there are other things that we can look at as well. One of the strong indicators that these wise men came from that general region of the world is linked to the types of gifts they came to lay before Jesus at his birth as part of their intentions to worship the newborn king. Matthew 2 verse 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him." Now, did anybody catch and did anybody notice? It said house. Didn't say manger. It said house. Now, this probably happened anywhere up to a year after the birth of Jesus. They've left the stable. They're living in a house somewhere around Bethlehem, and the star had shone, and the wise men had traveled, probably anywhere from up to a year before Jesus, or after Jesus was born, that they appeared to Jesus. And then they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You all know the gifts. These men were probably carrying gifts that were mined from the area which they derived from. Most likely from Arabia. The gifts of frankincense and myrrh, but they're the real evidence of where they actually came from in the area which they traveled from. Gives us more proof that they probably derived from Saudi Arabia, somewhere in those types of regions, because those gifts of frankincense and myrrh came from a special tree just in those areas of the world. And so if you were in that area and you understood kind of the local traditions of what went on and where gifts came from, and you might recognize where these wise men were from if you lived in that day. So let me jog your memory just a little bit this morning. Do some of you remember Hull ice cream? Very good. Now, I couldn't find the green carton anymore. I couldn't even find it on the webpage or anything. But I remember the green carton with the yellow label that said Hall Ice Cream on it. It was specific to our area. You might know of other things that are specific to the area that you lived in or you grew up in, and you can remember some of those things. And so the wise men and their gifts, they were no different. Frankincense and myrrh came from a special tree in Saudi Arabia. The locals would have known where those gifts derived from. And so when Matthew wrote his gospel, he knew exactly what it meant when he said, from the east, because of the gifts that they carried. So what are these origin of gifts? Let me get to my next slide here for you. What are the origin of these gifts and the wise men? What do they have to do with answering the question, what child is this? Why does this make a difference? And we know that there are signs that point to what's going to go on in the life of Jesus and what he's being prepared for as a sacrifice and so on in 30-some years. We get that. But there's something deeper that you need to understand and know theologically in this message today that I want to share with you. First, consider the comparison of origins of the wise men and Jesus. The wise men traveled a great distance before their arrival at the manger. Where did Jesus come from? Who was he with before he was born here on earth? With the Father in heaven. Jesus had come a great distance. Now, you might think, well, literally, it's a long ways. But isn't he close to us? And yeah, the question is yes. But you need to consider, where did he come from? What were his origins? What was his status as God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son? To a stable in a manger. Jesus had come a great distance. Emmanuel, God with us. What Jesus did not come from the east, as did the wise men, but he did come to dwell among us, that his presence would be amongst his people. And yet he came from the position of God the Father. Significant, deep theologically for us to know those things in our own life, of what he did as he sacrificed his son That's important for you and I as believers in Christ. The child in the manger is the one who, like the wise men, made an arrival in Bethlehem from some distance. So think about the Christmas story for a moment with me. It's important to remember that Jesus came not only to seek and save the Jewish working class shepherds that El talked about, who were roused in the field that night by a whole legion of angels and so on. But he also came for some Gentile Arabs who were wealthy. And they came bearing gifts to the Messiah. Now that is a broad range of people, isn't it? The lowly shepherds to some very wealthy wise men who knew everything about the earth and the stars and so on. And so we get this understanding that Jesus came for all people. All people. No matter the class, no matter the wealth, no matter the sin that you've been involved in your life, that you've asked for forgiveness for, or the place that you live. Jesus came for all people in all times. That's good news. Came for all of us who call upon him as Lord and Savior so that we could have eternal life. Now, the second point I want to make with you this morning is the mention of wealth. And gifts brings us to the second comparison between the wise men and Jesus. The wise men were from a position of wealth and what they brought. Likewise, Jesus came from a place of great wealth. It is not the wealth that the world knows. It's different. You and I need to understand that of this wealth that God brings. Because he's the God who stepped out from the riches of heaven and into the poverty of a lowly manger in the Bethlehem stable. If you were to go home and read your Bible in the book of Revelation, chapters 4, chapter 5, chapter 20, chapter 21, it speaks of this great wealth of heaven as it describes, you know, what the foundations would be like and what the roads are like and the precious stones that are there and the gates made out of pearls and all figuratively, but gives us an idea of great wealth and a great place. Let me share a few verses with you throughout the Old Testament that gives us an idea of this great wealth that I'm talking about as far as what Jesus brings to us every day. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, belong to God. That's great wealth. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills, is what it says in Psalm 50, verse 10. Everything belongs to God. Whether in his throne room of heaven or among the earth, he created, as we previously read in John's gospel and the passage as well, this child in the manger is the Lord. He created everything that you have, your provisions, your possessions, your wealth, your health even, given to you by God. He is the one who created and owns all wealth. These characteristics that we talk about with you this morning, we see mirrored in Jesus as well. And the wise men, they have some of these attributes that Jesus carries into this world. And so we begin to understand and get a glimpse of who this child in the manger truly is. Does the generosity of the wise men reflect an attribute of who this child in the manger is? As the wise men bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, great wealth is given. But what about the birth of Jesus? For you and I, great wealth is given. Jesus is the one full of generosity. Jesus is the one who's the giver of good and great gifts. Remember that this Christmas season. I like the little story of the birthday cake. How often do we just skip over it and we get so wound up in the things of this world that go on? Take time this Christmas to realize the great wealth that Jesus has bestowed upon you through his birth, that you could have eternal life. And especially if you've lost a loved one this past year or in the past, you also get to rejoice in that. For they live eternally with God the Father. So we come back to this question of what child is this? He's the one who would give the ultimate gift. He was born to give his life as a ransom for you and I. Notice these scriptures that speak to the attributes of Jesus as a generous giver. I'll read those off to you in just a little bit. But I want you to understand, listen closely to the words that are in scripture that talk about the generosity of Jesus Christ towards your life and the gifts that you receive. Galatians chapter 1, and there's a lot in Galatians if you were to sit down and read that. But I'm just going to read you just verses 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're used to that, right? As a benediction, I say that sometimes to you. Grace be to you and the peace of God. But then it goes on to say this, who gave himself for our sins. See, there's the gift. Who gave himself for our sins. To deliver us from the evil that we live in. One day you will be delivered from this earth through death, unless Jesus returns first. But there's a gift there that we need to see. 1 John 3, verse 16. Listen real closely to these biblical words. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. The gift again given to you and I. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Peace. How many of you are eager for a peace that comes from God today? Peace of heart. Peace of mind. For peace, maybe things that you're going through within your own families. Especially when the holidays roll around. Sometimes things get difficult, don't they? May God give you the gift of peace this Christmas season. Give those things to him. Jesus has the heart of the Heavenly Father. What child is this? He's the one who gives and is generous in ways that we see the wise men echo as they give their gifts and present them to him in the manger. Do you know something that's quite fascinating? The wise men were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus. They would not be the last. That's you and I still today. We are the Gentiles. Jesus was the child who was born to be worshipped by all, in all nations, for all times. And if you were to read scriptures, what Simeon said, he waited for God to reveal himself through the child. He promised him, that God promised him, that I will not call you from this earth till you see the child, the Savior. Is what the wise men experienced with the star that led them there to that house? The Savior had come. It is part of the answer to the question, what child is this? He is the one true Savior of the entire world that is worthy to seek and to worship. And so may I encourage you to live as the wise men lived. And this is how they lived. May we seek him. May we bow before him. May we worship him. And most importantly, may you and I give him the gifts of our lives as we go and tell others about who he is. And all of God's people said,